You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Already had a good time and going to have some more. I'd like for you to welcome our helpers up here. We got so many good people that help us. Kathy is Brother Johnny, our pastor's wife. I love to sing with Kathy. I'm so glad that she's here. Miss Estine right here. I call her Easy.
Yay.
Brother Strauss. A lot of you know Strauss. Brother Ted. Singing tenor here. Miss Jolene McWilliams on keyboard and Miss Dolores Morris over there. We're going to do one more song for you, and this is a special song, but if you know it, we welcome you and we invite you to sing along with us. It's another one you probably heard your grandmother sing back when your grandma was singing to you. It's called Jesus, Won't You Hold My Hand?
Yeah.
thank y'all so much. Give our singers and players a hand. Well, I appreciate them. That was fun.
That's kind of a toe tapper, wasn't it? Yeah. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to 2 Peter. That's go all the way to the end of the Bible. No, go to the book of Revelation. Talked to a fellow the other day. I asked him if he knew what the last book in the Bible was, and he said, yeah. I said, it's concordance. But go to the book of Revelation and come back. It's a little small book. It's only 3 chapters long, 2 Peter, and we're going to be in that 3rd chapter. And if you don't have a Bible and would like to follow along with us tonight, if you lift your hand, we've got some guys that will bring you one. And while you're doing that, I tease Johnny a lot. He's my pastor, and he probably spends more time doing funerals and visiting people at the hospital than anybody I know. And I'm very proud that my pastor does that. I really am. But I hope he doesn't get in the bind that I read about a guy that the church member's name was Fred, and Fred was, they thought Fred is not going to make it. He was having a hard time, and they even had him in an oxygen mask. And they called the pastor, said, Pastor, we'd like you to be here. The family did. And he come in and walked in and laid his hand on Fred's shoulder and stood by him. And Fred began to try to get the preacher's hand and make gestures. And the pastor was just patting him. And a little bit, he was asking for, and so they said he wants to write something. And they got him a pen and pencil, and he wrote something. And just as he finished it, he was gone. And the pastor didn't want to take the time to read it then, didn't know if that'd be appropriate in front of the family. He just stuck it in his pocket, his coat. Got to the funeral. He was preaching Fred's funeral. As he was closing up his message, he felt in his pocket, and he happened to have on the same coat that he had that day with Fred, and there was that note. And he said, man, said, this is, I'm going to get to share this with everybody here. And he pulled it out, and he said, Fred wrote this to me right before he took his last breath, and I wanted to read it to y'all. I'm sure it'll encourage you. And he opened it up, and it said, Preacher, you're standing on my oxygen tube. Johnny, I hope you don't get me. 2 Peter, chapter 3. What we're going to look at tonight is what I call the big picture, because we're going to go from creation to the new heavens and a new earth just in a few verses. It's just a big overall picture. Now, the Bible, most people know the Bible in bits and pieces. And sometimes you can tell by talking to them their pieces don't fit. And if we don't, one of the things the Bible tells us to do is rightly divide the word of truth. And divide means to separate. Doesn't mean to just clump everything together. The Bible is not a smorgasbord and you just walk through it and pick whatever you like. And yet I think it's the way we treat it lots of time. And so what we're talking about now, tonight, is just the overall picture. But some scripture is just general truth. It's continual truth. Like the creation, it hasn't changed. Like the nature of God, He hasn't changed. Like the holiness of Jesus Christ, He hasn't changed. That's general truth. Other things in the Bible are specific truth. Like God giving the Sabbath to Israel. Now, as far as I know, we don't have a Jew in here tonight, so you don't have to sweat it. He gave it to Israel. He made that statement over and over specifically. But we have a lot of arguments over it from people about things. There was geographical truth. Jesus born in Bethlehem. There's historical truth. It tells exactly when he was born. And the taxing that went out, because Roman government had records, and you can go back through their records and find out when all that took place. But that doesn't affect 2010 as far as Bethlehem today. It doesn't make Bethlehem important today to anybody. There's timely truth. Jesus, in fact, in the same book in the Bible, in the book of Luke, Jesus sent his disciples out and told them not to take any money with them. And I could handle that, because I never had any. But about 11, 12 chapters later, he comes back and tells them to go out again, but this time take money with them. Take an extra coat. First time he told them, don't take two coats. This time he said, you can't. He changed the program. God has done that a lot. There was a time when to go worship God, the people took animal sacrifices. Can't do that today. God doesn't recognize that today. Now, for those of you that are scholarly, what I've just been talking about is our dispensations in the Bible. And you can go and get one of them $25 definitions, or you can just remember that dispensations simply mean this: what God is dispensing. Like you go to a dispensary and get whatever the doctor said you need. What is he dispensing at this point in time? The overall truth that we're going to look at here, and by the way, you get in the New Testament, and every now and then you see a little phrase that says, but now. I'm going to look those up and talk on them some night. But every time you see but now, it means we've had a little change here. Something took place, but now. Now we got something a little different here. So, 2 Peter chapter 3. 1 and 2 Peter were written during the time of the book of Acts. If you go back and look at 1 Peter, you'll find it was written to the dispersed Jews. It's not written to Gentiles. We are Gentiles. But what he's given is a general truth. Like the creation. Like the first heaven. Like the second heaven. Like the third heaven that we're going to talk about tonight, and some things that are going to take place. But, and so we can learn from that because it's general truth. Now then, let's just start in verse 1. It said, this second epistle or letter, beloved, I write unto you, and both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Peter said, I want you to remember some things. I want to stir up your minds. I want to cause you to think a little bit. Number two, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. We want you to think about these things. We want you to pay attention, he's saying. Knowing this first, and notice he said this is the first thing, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. If you read through the book of Acts, every book written during the book of Acts, and during the book of Acts, the one thing they were looking for was the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not see any time that you and I can look back in history and see that division. In fact, we'll even see here that at one time, the Jews could have sped that time up, but they rejected the king. They were looking for a kingdom, but it's real hard to have a kingdom if you don't have a king, isn't it? See, you can't have a kingdom and a president. You can't have a kingdom and a governor. You have to have a king in order to have a kingdom. That's why so many people today talk about the kingdom. The king's not back yet. When the king comes, he'll set up the kingdom. You and I are not going to bring it in. He will set it up. So, he said, there are going to come scoffers in the last days, and they're walking after their own lust. They're doing what they want to do, how they want to do it. Don't tell me what to do. Now, I know. Can anybody tell me what to do? I've got a bunch of testimonies in here tonight to say they can't. See, I bet there wasn't anybody in here that called up and said, could I go to Safe Beef, please? You know what? I'd really like to spend some time down there at Beat 01. Y'all got opening? No, we don't do that, see. We know, but it's amazing how all of a sudden we can straighten up when somebody that's got more power walks in. But yet we'll tell everybody else, nobody tells me what to do. He said, that's the kind, those are the scoffers. Those are the people that come in. And notice what they do. Here's what they say. Where is the promise of His coming? Talking about Jesus Christ. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They said nothing has changed since creation. Which means they're stupid on purpose. Because the next verse says, for this they are willingly ignorant of. See, it's one thing to be stupid. It's another thing just to be stupid on purpose. And they say, where's the promise of His coming? Everything's the same since creation. I told you, we take you back to creation. They said, nothing has changed. What about the flood, dude? All of a sudden, we got all these folks, and now we got eight. I mean, in 40 days and 40 nights, we got eight people left. See? We've had a big swimming pool party. Things haven't. But they are willingly ignorant of these things. Facts are thrown at them. We got school boards like that today. We got governments like that today. We got preachers like that today. We got churches like that today. We got religions like that today. That the facts are staring them right in the eye and they just ignore them. See, at least these guys knew there was creation. We got people today say, oh, no, it just all happened. I like what our youth pastor says here, because many of you have heard the evolution story and how things started with slime and then it became this and that and some kind of animal. And he said, we just go from goo to the zoo to you. And they said, this they're willingly ignorant of. And notice what he said, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in water. He said, God did that. The God that created it. Then He brings the flood. Wherefore, the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. It just took care of everybody. And the word perish doesn't mean annihilate. The earth is still there. After 40 days and 40 nights, the earth is still there. It's just got water all over it. But and when the water goes down, they're back on the ground. See? But everybody is gone. He said, it overflowed with water. But He said, the heaven and the earth that then was, the world that then was being overflowed with water. Now, Paul made a statement one time, and everybody's kind of jumped on this. He said he was caught up to the third heaven. And they said, that's above that. The first heaven is just the atmosphere out here, and the second heaven, the stratosphere, and third heaven. We're going to see tonight that it has nothing to do with elevation. We're reading about the first heaven and first earth that was destroyed by the flood. Then he said the heaven and earth that is now, and it still is now. We're still on it. And then he's going to talk about the one that is to come when this one is not destroyed by water anymore, but it's destroyed by what? Fire. See? And we'll see that. So, just nowhere in the Bible does it talk about the third heaven being up. Nowhere. But people said, well, surely it's got to be. Let me tell you. If I ask you now to come up to the front, you're walking on level deal. In many auditoriums, you can say, come up to the front, and they actually tilt downward, don't they? And you walk down to get up to the front. Yeah. So he said, wherein the world that then was, being overloaded with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. God is keeping it this way. He said we're kept. There's going to be a judgment, but God's not rushing it. There's going to be some times when God's anger comes on, but God's not rushing it, and we're going to see why just in a moment. He said that the heaven and the earth, which are now, that's number two. First one, heavens and earth, was before the flood. Now, the one we live on, and this is kept in store, reserved under fire against today. It tells us how it's going to end up. Tells us how it's going to finish. And people used to scoff at that until we came up with the atomic bomb and now the nitrogen bomb. And people see that very, very much so, how that can take place on this earth. But notice this. Verse 8. Remember, he's writing to those Jewish people that have trusted Christ and have been scattered. They're not popular people. Their own religion, the Jewish religion, doesn't like them. The Romans don't like them. Notice what he said, verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Now, see, he said these other people were willingly ignorant of some things. But he said, don't be ignorant of this. Know what he's talking about. Number one, he said that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now notice he said that's with the Lord. With me and you, it's still a day. And when it mentions it in the Bible, it's talking about a day. People have scoffed at God saying in 6 days he created the heaven and the earth. And they say, well, were those 1,000-year periods, were those geological ages? Well, if you go over in the book of Exodus, Moses said to people that knew a day from a geological period or 1,000 years, he said 6 days. And on the seventh, he rested. That's why he told them to keep the Sabbath, the Jewish people. And that was for the nation of Israel. Noah didn't keep the Sabbath. Abraham didn't keep the Sabbath. Isaac didn't keep the Sabbath. Jacob didn't keep the Sabbath. Had to get to Moses, till Moses leading the Jewish people. And by the way, it also said, and nobody ever mentions this. I hear people argue over the Sabbath sometime, and it has nothing to do with the Jewish people. But also, if you want to grab that, notice the other phrase. He said, 6 days thou shalt work. So if you are only working 5 days a week, you're sinning. See, we just like to take that part literal that we like. We'll spiritualize something else. See? But he said, time is irrelevant with God. He doesn't get in a hurry, but he never gets behind. And then notice verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Or his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know why this earth hadn't burned up yet? God's got some more people he wants to save. The only reason this thing is still standing, if we look at this earth, and I don't care where you look at it as an outlaw or an in-law. I don't care which side of the law you're on. They're both rotten. Hey, man is just, he's going to have his way. He'll mistreat other men. He'll walk all over other people regardless. This is just, but he said the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What's that promise? That Jesus Christ died on Calvary to save sinners. The Bible said the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come down here to start churches. That was a result. He didn't come down here to feed people. That was a result. He didn't come down here to get you to get along with everybody. That was a result. He came down here so you and I could get to heaven. Amen. as a rotten, smart aleck, no good kid, he reached down and saved my ornery hide. And that's why he came, and he's not slack concerning that promise. That means he didn't forgets it for a little while. He always knows what his main program is, and the reason that we're to rec room tonight, the reason that we can suck in this air, the reason that this old earth is still standing, is because there's some more people that God's going to save. He's not slack concerning his promise, long-suffering others, not willing that any should perish. God sends nobody to hell. You can choose to go there, but it'll be your choice. He's done everything he could to keep us not going there. He gave all that he had, his son, for us not to go there. What more can he do? He's begged and pleaded, and we've had people to talk to us. And many of us were raised in homes where somebody, we've been around people that told us about Christ. We're not dumb about that. We just work at being stupid. See? Like we talked about up here. Stupid on purpose. But he said, not willing that any should perish. And then verse 10 said, but the day of the Lord will come. Now we don't know if it'll be in the day or thousand, but said the day of the Lord will come. Here's a promise. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. He'll come as a thief in the night. How does a thief come? Just blustering around, coming down the street, saying, anybody up? Anybody got anything that's not tied down? I read about the guy that was trying to give his refrigerator away. He bought him a new refrigerator and he set it out there. He's still working. Wasn't all that great, but it was still workable. Refrigerator, and he put free refrigerator. Left it out on in front of his house and sat there all week long. He walked back out and put a sign on it. Said $75, and they stole it that night. Verse 11. Said, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We got something good to look for. We look around at this world and the things that are going on in it, and you start getting old and fat like I am, and it's hard to get around. And I got a call today from a guy I went to high school, and I just hate this when they say this, but he mentioned one or two people, and he said, there's not many of us left, are there? Well, I'm here. But you go to more funerals when you get my age than you do when you're your age. See? But we've got something to look forward to. We're going to look for a new heaven and a new earth where everything is clean and pure and happy and joyful. That's what's in store for God's people. And let me challenge you with this. And with that verse 9 is kind of a text, is that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but have everlasting life. That all should come to repentance. Would you think about that? Would you give that some thought? Like when he said, I stir up your mind by way of remembrance, and that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken. Have you trusted Christ? Do you have that hope of a new heaven and a new earth? Or is everything in your life pretty much in the pit? Sometimes it's not worth living. Sometimes it's just pretty horrible. Or even as worse as things get, do you have that hope for a new heaven and a new earth? A new body? A new life that comes through Christ? If you don't, it's so easy to have it. Listen to me carefully. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart he believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, it's the mouth after the heart. Heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession's made unto salvation. And then to sum it up and make it very simple, three verses later, he said, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to bow your heads with me. Your eyes closed and head bowed, and we're going to sing a couple of verses of a song. And while Charles is doing that, I want you to stand to your feet. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. And here's what I want you to do. I'm going to pray in just a moment. While I'm praying, I want you to talk to God about you. And then if you know that you know that you know that you've got the hope of new heaven and new earth, what about the one standing next to you? Our Father, always in this size of a group, there's somebody that needs to trust you. Always, Father, there's some of us that even though we've trusted you, we need to get some things cleaned up in our life. We're not ready for this old earth to be burned up. We're not ready for the judgment to come. So, Father, help us get that straight and right tonight. You said that if we confess our sins, that you'd forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You've never gone back on a promise. So help those that need to do that, do it now. While heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed, as Charles began to sing, I want you to step out and say, Leland, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. Or maybe you need to step out and say, Leland, I got some dirty laundry in my life. I want to ask God to get it out of me. I want to get where I can live in hope and not in despair. Would you come? While he's saying, just as I am, without one plea, would you come? Think about it. Do you need to come somehow? Do you need to just come and kneel and say, Lord, I'm tired of it. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Looking for the answer. Would you come? Charles is going to sing one more verse. No one comes. We're through. I want you to have the opportunity. And fear. Remind you, those of you that came tonight, as you leave tonight, out on that table, there's some little manuals called What Have I Done and What Do I Do Now? Has to do with new Christians. What have I done? Where you can, in the silence and the privacy of your room, your home, even in your car, you can sit and go over those scriptures with your Bible. And so that you don't do this just by emotion. You know what you're doing. Secondly, what do I do now? After you're saved, there's going to be some conflict. Pick up one of those. They're free of charge. Take it with you. Sit down with your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. But spend some time with that. God bless you. The bars are open. Thank you for being here.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.